as soon as I can. Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
Greetings, is the automatically deleted husband? Gee, automatically deleted again. I have several things that I did some reviewing of some of the previous voicemails, especially the videos, and I think I've hopefully we'll refine some techniques. But first, my postcard obviously was not. I didn't send one today because of there's no mail today. I did send one Saturday, and that went to my Julia. Julia, 6 years ago, we had a marvelous hug. That was the last time I hugged any of my kids or my wife. I know hurt. You know hurt. Christ offers grace. Bask in that grace, love, Dad. It was 6 years ago that I went to visit Julia in North Carolina. I wanted to visit Eric Lee at the same time, too, but she refused. And obviously, my recollection is that my family took kind of like a weekend vacation or something, I guess maybe to make sure that I wouldn't show up. I don't know. But that's 6 years ago, and who cares? But I think about my Julia, especially when I was writing the card, I was thinking about my Julia. Wonder what she's thinking about. Because to my joy, I had over 20 years with my lady until she abandoned me. And Julia had only a few years with her husband before he abandoned her. What progress there is in reconciliation or things of that nature, or what the status is, I have no idea. But I also understand the veracity of the Bible, the veracity of the claims of Christ, and the significance of the grace he offers. And even though it's not offered to me by family, extended family, institutional church, I want to offer it to family, extended family, and institutional church. Because I am a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, I use the difference. I don't call myself a Christian anymore. I call myself a follower of Christ. Because if you look in the Bible, every time the word Christian is used, it's what the world calls the follower of Christ. People who follow Christ were called those who, in some form or the other, follow Christ, follow the way, or things of that nature. But anyway. So Julia was on my mind. Secondly, to my joy, this morning I started early, and I was pleased because, I've thought a lot how I remember distinctly when my wife was laying in the bed beside me, I had a motivation to get up in the morning. It's hard to find that motivation right now. It really is. If there's the biggest struggle I think I'm having is the why bother. And the time that it's most pronounced is in the morning. Why bother getting up? Why bother? Who cares? And it's a struggle. It requires discipline. Ooh, discipline. Ooh, tough word. But in the grace of God, today I started early. That encouraged me very much. And one of the first things I do in the morning, most men, is my jumping jacks. But the joy today is that before 6 a.m., I start 5:12, but before 6 a.m., I had 1,024 done. And throughout the day, I've done 2,500. What's fascinating about that is that I listened to one of the things I was doing in the last few days is listening to some of the old videos from over a year ago. And I mentioned how I moved up to 5:12, or I did it like once or whatever and whatnot. But that was a big deal because it was, I think, if I recall correctly, yeah, it was May 19th in 2021. So roughly a year and a half ago. The one day, I did 3,000 in one day just to prove that I could. It was hard, and it took me all day. And today I casually did 2,500. So I didn't do 3,000, but I did 2,500. Wasn't a problem. So, you know, there's that improvement, and it's also more indication. Dorothy Jane, besides keeping the promise to be one with you, I'm keeping the promise I made to strive to do what I can to live to be 90. There's solid evidence. And again, you know, my 5-year goal to make 1 million jumpy jacks looks like 3 years will be not a problem. But one of the things I did this weekend too, because what I'm trying to do for a number of reasons, but and one is because, you know, my objective behind Shofar Nexus, I want to communicate. And I want to have the tools to communicate ideas. You know, again, it's the search versus browse mentality that I talk about. I won't go with that again. But I want to refine the tools so when you get to one place, it's easy to relate to other things because they're set right in front of you. So I did a couple things just to experiment with that. and one was, and on today's paper, I'll give you a link to an image from 1946. It's a picture of my dad in Germany at what was called at that time Soldiers Field, which was the rename of Zeppelin Field, which, because when you go to that, you'll see there's links for three other. Right now, it's three other images I have. One is from 1938, the Rally of Greater Germany. This is, it's the picture I have on the wall, which, like I say, there's a real possibility my mom's in that photo. But I have another picture from 1945. Not a picture, it's a video. I think it's like 10 seconds. It's, you know, because they had that big swastika at the top of the stadium there. And this is when they blew it up. And, you know, it's noted there, but because I found it fascinating because I heard an interview with a guy who did the filming of it, because he said, oh, you're going to blow it up? Can I film it? And, yeah, you know, there. So he got there, he filmed it, but he didn't get to see, because at that time, you know, it was processing the film and all those kind of things. He didn't see it for a few years. So he was the one that filmed it, and he didn't get to see it until several years later. And but he apparently he did get sick. But I mean, fascinating little trivia. But see, part of it is the technique that I'm trying to do to refine, because obviously 38, 45, 46, the context is very different, but obviously they're related. And I want to do that with other things. So, for example, I will link two other videos. one is from April 19th of 2021, so a little over a year ago, titled Sheriff's Visit, Why Did You Remove 1 Corinthians 6 from Your Bible? This is the day the sheriff, not one, but two sheriff, came down my driveway. You know, as I pointed out, they come when I'm making a smoothie. I don't, something about my smoothies, but fortunately it's only once in a great while. and so there was a lot of discussion in there of, you know, what I would contend is what a Christian should do, a follower of Christ, versus what happened. So it was very much a reminder to me, you know, besides trying to communicate with my family, especially, yeah, I've been communicating back to me, you know, about a year and a half later. There's a second one that I'll link to. I watched several, but I'll just give you these two. This is May 20th of 2021. DVDs tomorrow, Jim Cross and my wife choose life. And there were a number of issues there that were discussed that I suggest maybe provocative. I'm trying to, because some of the things that I've thought about many times is on I think on both those videos and on several of the others that I look to, There's a discussion on a particular passage of Scripture. And what I find is that, especially after I've had a dialogue with somebody, more often than not it's with Chris, but I have a dialogue with somebody else, and we're looking at a piece of Scripture, and what does it really mean? So any notes, or in the case of the voicemails, it's there. But I want, because it's one thing to read what somebody else has written, but to be reminded of what you went through to find something is, I think, far more helpful. Because if I'm trying to understand a particular passage, and you know, I make it a little refinement, and then some months later, more refinement, and some maybe years later, maybe even then connecting things together. I want to give the tools, not only to myself, but to others, to be able to say, all right, I've got to this point, and I'm going to connect things together. This is how to do this, you know, it's an experiment thing. And I'm striving, and maybe no way to get somebody else to do that. But one of the things, you know, I discussed, especially Friday, about, you know, a lot of deception and things of that nature going on, my concern about the next generation. So a lot of this relates. So I'm going to give you a couple. For example, I want to point out a few things. One is, I'll give you a link because I watched it. There's a group called the Gray Zone. And they do describe themselves of definitely left of center. But I have a lot of respect for them. You know, it's clarity of presentation. I've mentioned them several times before. Very clear. And they do not, they're not simply saying our side. No, they're looking at evidence and present and making a case, which I find marvelous. You know, a lot of, you know, for example, they're not the only ones, but they're one, because I went through I think three or four different sources when I studied the Duma alleged chemical attack, which obviously was not a chemical attack. It was fraud. But they're one of the ones that really showed the evidence extremely well. And of course, they are, you know, canceled. A lot of the mainstream media will say, you know, they're disinformation, because they show the evidence, and you know, you can't do that. Don't show evidence. No. Don't do that. You know, it's just like, yeah, so many other places. But there was a, you know, I think I've only seen this maybe once or twice. This idea of a watch along, where a couple people or one or more people are watching another video and making comments during it. And this is what they did on the link I'll give you. They Max Blumenthal and Katie Halper react to Biden's Dark Brandon speech because I didn't listen. You know, I definitely didn't listen to it. I obviously saw a lot of people made clips and whatnot, and some of the satire on that is really funny. You know, the one where somebody took him and put the Hitler mustache on him because the similarities are phenomenal. Not only in the art aspect of it, but in the words. So, even the Babylon Bee. Oh, the Babylon Bee did a series of things where they basically said he did this and this, and with it started with Hitler during the talked about Mein Kampf and whatnot. Or, well, they did say I don't know if they call them Brandon or Biden or whatever, but wrote my struggle, which is Mein Kampf, and the various steps, and of course to the point that the last one is him committing suicide in the bunker. So they did a very obvious comparison between President Brandon and Adolf Hitler. They did it in satire, but obviously the Gray Zone thing was serious, and I really thought it was very good. And I find this interesting because it was another example of the distortion that's happening. So, you know, for example, I looked at some of the things that are happening of late. You know, I was never a fan of Pink Floyd, even though they were a popular band when I was young. And you know, I still can't tell you any of their songs or whatnot. But the one guy who was one of their lead performers or whatever, Roger Waters, is still performing. Apparently, he just did or is just completing a tour throughout the United States, and he's in his 70s. He's apparently well respected still in the music industry, but also he has been rather outspoken, perhaps notably on Julian Assange. He's very much promoted the atrocity that's happening with him and some other areas. But he's also recently called out Ukraine. And you may be aware there was this there's a Russian fellow professor, philosopher, and whatnot. You know, it's fascinating to me what I see done against propaganda. This gentleman is called the mind of Putin or something of that nature. And apparently, you know, it's just what people call him, because the analogy I found that find about that, because the Russians have a missile system, and the second version, it's not sarin or something of that nature. I forget the name of it, but you'll hear it talked about in the Western news media as the Satan or Satan 2. But that's what the Western media, not what they call it. So you can give this connotation about the Russians by calling their missile the Satan 2. It is the exact same thing that happened, and I don't know if it started pre-World War II or definitely in World War II, where you called people who were affiliated with the National Socialist German Workers' Party a derogatory term, the Nazis. Because that was a way to demonize them. It's not what they called them themselves. You know, after a while, they probably did. But simply because of, to mock them, to mock those who mock. Anyway, but so the Satan 2 missile is not what the Russians call it. And this gentleman, Durgan? No, I remember his name. But anyway, he was at some event. He and his daughter works for news media or whatever. And they left, and they made a last-minute change of plans on their exit. And because there's a suggestion that he was the target, but she ended up being killed in a car bomb. And but anyway, the details behind that is not relevant. What's relevant is Ukraine has this kill list, and on that kill list was this woman. And now there's the crossed out version of it, one more taken care of. And they have a whole lot of people that they've taken care of. But they added somebody new to that list, Roger Waters. And I find that interesting because it's one thing to add a political figure and whatnot. They added a musician. You know, they have a lot of reporters, a lot of reporters. Because they kill reporters. But I just found that fascinating. And we still, there's this rabid embrace of Ukraine. Again, Ukraine has been known for decade plus as the most corrupt government in Europe. We got to get behind Ukraine. It's that German foreign minister or whatever who said, doesn't matter what the voters think, we will stand behind Ukraine unrelentingly. kind of, hmm, there's a problem here. And what's happening? If you look now, you probably won't see this in U.S. media. In France, in Czech Republic, in several countries, they're having massive protests. And I'm not talking, 1,500 or, 100, 500, 1,000 people, whatnot. Tens of thousands of people are gathering to protest and protest what their government is doing, seated behind the anti-Russian hysteria. Because who's losing this? It's the European, it's obviously it's happening in Canada, it's happening in the U.S. too, but it's happening mostly in Europe. Europe is economically collapsing big time because of the sanctions they put on Russia and one of the ones that's really fascinating because it's one of the protests directly addressed this. There was Nord Stream 1. It was went for normal maintenance. They took some kind of turbine and whatnot, and it was shipped to Canada because apparently, I guess that's where it's made. And then because of sanctions, they decided not to ship it back. And then after some pressure, apparently it was shipped back. And this, that, and a bunch of other things happened. And so the pipeline was operating at reduced capacities in like 30% or whatnot. And because of another issue that came up, it's shut off. And so the not bringing the turbine back, all those delays and whatnot were done by the West. So you blame Russia. There's a maintenance issue. And whether it's exploited or whatnot, you blame Russia. So there's a lot of pressure there about, because now, currently, there's no flow. So there's this desire to sever the relationship with Russia, the sanctioning and whatnot. And now they're complaining, Russia's the aggressor because they turned off Nord Stream 1. There's a solution. There's an ON/OFF switch. And really, that's all there is necessary to turn on Nord Stream 2. Nord Stream 2 has been ready to go operational, tested and everything, for a year. Because of pressure by the U.S. and this anti-Russian sentiment, Europe says, no, we're not going to turn on Nord Stream 2. So they're complaining that Nord Stream 1 isn't fully operational or now even off, at least temporarily. But they won't turn on Nord Stream 2. So it's obviously the Russians' fault. Now, the objective here is not to be pro-Russian. The objective is to look at the evidence. What Europe is doing, Canada is doing, and the U.S. is doing, is saying, I'm going to sanction you in order to destroy me. That's what's happening. And the reasoning of people concerns me because it's like going back to the 1990s. Saddam Hussein is a bad man because of the incubator babies, which was a complete lie. I mean, it was literally fabricated. A PR company, did that. So we did that. We built that tension on a lie. We went into, later post 9/11, we went into Afghanistan and Iraq based on faulty information. Again, ask people, why are we in Afghanistan for about 20 years? Really? Why? The answer is the opium trade, but we don't want to talk about that because that's why we went in. Nothing to do with 9/11. But anyway, that fallacies that we've seen happen over and over again are happening again, and what's going to happen? See, the The difference is, you know, when we went into Libya, when we went into Iraq, when we went into Syria, when and, you know, so many other places, in Afghanistan, whatnot, we go in and we're very destructive, very destructive. And we have developed a bad reputation throughout the world. And people look at the U.S. as this huge economic and military power. We're demonstrating that our military is not that strong, because basically most every conflict we've been in over the last 30, 40, 50 years, we've lost. So the respect for the U.S. military is really plummeting. And of course, we're destructive compared to the way others were. Economically, you know, our power is in the U.S. dollar, the petrodollar. But suddenly the petrodollar is collapsing, because now we have the petroruble and the petrowon. That monopoly that the U.S. had is gone. It's not going, it's gone. So the economic might of the U.S., which was based on the petrodollar, is gone. So our power is disappearing. And then, of course, we fight with sanctions. Sanctions are an act of war. You know, it's I've expressed before, there's the BDS movement, boycott, divest, sanction, against Israel, because they call Israel an apartheid country, which is true. And I would agree, promoting the idea, saying we should boycott, not imposing, I would say, and if Russia was a problem, I would say, yeah, go ahead, boycott them. But promote it, don't impose it. Same thing with divestiture. If you have an investment in a place that you probably don't want to support, well, do that, including in U.S. companies, but that's another issue. But sanctioning is an act of war. You don't sanction Israel, you don't sanction Russia, you don't sanction China, you don't sanction other countries, because it's an act of war. Because now we're using the power of the state to interfere in economics. And it's basically a bomb. It is a bomb. And the people who... Because it's a bomb that doesn't destroy materially, but destroys the economy of who you're trying to sanction. Sometimes. The other times, it destroys your own economy. And that's exactly what's happening. Especially in the EU, all the sanctions that the EU has put on Russia is backfiring big time. And so they put on more sanctions. Canada is doing the same. U.S. is doing the same. And it's backfiring big time. So, you know, the protests that are happening are related to this, the anti-Russian sentiment that the government has, not the citizens. Because who's paying? It's not, you know, the people in government, they, you know, they're comfortable. But the average citizen, they're being told, don't shower anymore, use a washcloth. Literally, you can see this in Germany. They're telling you, reduce your number of showers, shorten the time, or just simply use a washcloth. And they're talking in France, rotating blackouts, like 2 hours a day. Similar things are being looked at. Is it the UK or Germany, whatnot? And the bills, utility bills, are going up anywhere from 50% to 3 times or more. So by sanctioning Russia, they've collapsed Europe. And what's happened to Russia? Russia is not built on the relationship with the EU. They also have a wonderful relationship with China, with India, and Africa, and South America. But, you know, it's interesting, the relationship, because one of the things I was wondering about a few years ago is it seems that we were, you know, involved in a lot of military activity in the Middle East. And I was wondering, that's going to shift, my guess was, to Africa. because, you know, the AFRICOM is the U.S. military's presence in Africa. And because we were trying to impose a lot. But there were two other players who have come in to Africa. The Chinese are there very strong, and it appears they are doing the economic model where they will, you know, they will provide a lot of infrastructure and so forth and loans and whatnot, and then of course grab control by doing that. There's a lot of tension about, was it in Sri Lanka? I think it may have been in Sri Lanka too, which is obviously having troubles, where there was this big port and they built by the Chinese, and the country couldn't pay for it. I think it was Sri Lanka or somebody near there. So the Chinese took possession of it. So in essence, it was kind of like a land grab, but it was done economically without firing a shot. And so a lot of that's happening in Africa now. So the relationship with a lot of African countries and China is very strong. The relationship between Russia and a lot of African countries are very strong too. And it was fascinating. If you look at recently, Lavrov, the foreign minister of Russia, who he acts like what a foreign minister should act like. He is extremely good at his job. In his presentation, in his communications ability, and so forth. He toured Africa, had tremendous interactions. Our foreign secretary, you know, our Secretary of State, Blinken, Anthony Blinken. A lot of people think this guy's an idiot. The reason being, because this guy's an idiot. He doesn't have the polish, but he also doesn't have, you know, the policies behind him. So Lavrov tours Africa, then I think within a week, Blinken tours Africa, and he was looked at as a laughingstock. I mean, a lot of people, a lot of countries literally laughed at him. And of course, he represents the U.S. So what people in Africa look at the U.S., they look at Lavrov, they look at Blinken, and they say, we're going to deal with the Russians because the Americans can't be trusted. The Russian economy is booming. You'll see a lot of people talking about the high inflation rate in the U.S. In Russia, prices are going down because the economy is doing very well. Because of their trade, you know, their foreign trade, you know, internally, they're self-sufficient for the most part. You know, they are the largest, physically largest country in the world, so they have a lot of resources. But their trade with other parts of the world flowing fine, because it's not regulated by the U.S., except to Europe, who has sanctioned them. So the ones that are sanctioning them are collapsing themselves. So with all that in mind, my kids, I really seriously wonder about my kids. There's an arrogance that the U.S. has. You know, it goes back, you know, a good example would be, what, is it 2 years ago? I'm trying to figure out how to be able to express this clearly, repeatedly. And I was trying to think of a foundation. And I'm really wondering, because it's been 2.5 years since I started the line. The mask is the armband of 100 years ago. And I stand by that 2.5 years later. I will say the mask is the armband of 100 years ago. Because there's no evidence for this. It shows submission. And what happened 100 years ago, because of the submission, when you had a powerful economy, and Germany had a powerful economy, especially in the 30s And in the beginning of the 40s, he had a powerful economy. You know, a lot of the internally within Germany never really went to a war footing until like 42, 43 or whatnot. They were still just going on. And I think we see a lot of that happening now. We're not really on a war footing in the sense of how it's impacting our economy, but it's starting to. And it's not that bombs are falling in the U.S., but it's economic warfare this time. Because we're going to self-destruct. But how? Is it because of external forces or internal? And I suggest it's internal. And it's many people argue it's purposeful. Because, you know, the good example is when the first stimulus check came, and this was during the Trump administration. It was a $2 trillion package, and $500 billion was to put money into the economy by giving people a check. And remember, I never got one. So people say, oh, great, the government is giving me free money. It was a massive theft because for two reasons. One, the short term, $500 billion goes to people. $1.5 trillion went to corporate interests. It was a slush fund. That's really what it was. It was a slush fund. And people would look the other way because they got their $600 check, I think was the first one. But there's a second part to that. It was borrowed money. Who pays for that money? The taxpayer. But because it's spread out for over so long, who's really paying for it? My kids. My kids were turned into debt slaves. The estimates I've heard is that $2 trillion was taken out, $8 trillion will be paid back because of interest. So it was theft. And if you have a culture where the idea of multi-generation is less of a concern, more and more people don't care. And then, of course, the follow-on things have been the same. You know, the latest thing, one gentleman a guy that I dealt with at the farmer's market. He hasn't been there in a while, but he has excellent bell peppers. He has a YouTube channel and talks about his farm and whatnot. But he does every once in a while what he called a dad joke, a little stupid comment and whatnot, which, you know, I can relate to. I mean, they're stupid comments, and some of them are pretty funny. But his recent one is to give financial advice. Convert your mortgage into a student loan. Get the point? Because, again, that whole idea of canceling debt, it's not that we say, oh, you don't have to pay that anymore. No, the government's going to say, we're going to borrow money to pay that for you. It is very much like the stimulus checks, except instead of $600 or $1,200, it's $10,000. But it's to a limited audience. But it's the same thing. It's theft. Because it's not free money. It's not canceling money. It's somebody else has to pay for it. The taxpayer. And, of course, the next generation. And, of course, let me add, since one of the problems with the whole education system is you're told you need to get a good education, get a college degree and whatnot, so you'll do well. One of the things that you don't get taught in high school is simple math. Because if you go to college by borrowing money, the evidence is overwhelming. The debt that you acquire does not compensate for any potential higher rate of salary if you didn't have the degree. I mean, that's easily, it's been demonstrated by many. Anyway, so we have people who can't reason, can't do simple math, can't look at the evidence about what sanctions do. We don't look at the evidence of what's happening in the world. We simply jump on the bandwagon. We're like that German foreign minister. We don't care what the voters think. We're going to stand behind Ukraine. Again, you look at the Maidan Revolution and so forth. That country was overthrown several times. And it wasn't overthrown by an uprising by the people trying to seek freedom. It was a takeover of the country by oligarchs. And they, you know, they're backed by, you know, the idea of the people who follow Banderas and Bandera or whatever, and, you know, the Azov Battalion and whatnot. They're highly involved in this, the neo-Nazis. And but we stand behind them. But again, remember, we stood behind the rise of the Third Reich. The U.S. stood behind the rise of the Third Reich until it became inappropriate. We're doing the same thing. But what happens? You know, I gave a while back, because it's in one of my older videos, where I did the Denis Rancourt. I gave a clip from him where he talks about why people will not take off the mask. Because what happened was, at the time, he published a paper. It was published in a normal scientific publication house, and they removed it because he gave the evidence that the masks are useless. And what's happened over the years, you know, that's been, 2 years, more evidence has come out, the masks are useless. Actually, you know, the death rate for people who are masked is higher than those who don't. The infection rate, other things, is higher with those who wear the mask and those who don't. I mean, that's been demonstrated. And of course, as I've pointed out, I think I even did in one of these, it's child abuse. When you put it on the kids, it's child abuse. Unequivocally, it's child abuse. But he published the paper and they removed it. And there was the question, why? And he said one of the reasons that people won't want to do this is because if they have been using the mask for however long, they've got an investment in it. And if you're convinced from the evidence that you're wrong, it's going to attack your pride. Pride, it has very, very strong influence in people. Plus, unless your peers also are convinced, you become effectively a whistleblower. So for someone to take off the mask, it's going to be really, really hard. In the exact same way, a corporation, a person, a whatnot, we stand with Ukraine. And you find out we're standing with a Nazi government. We're standing with a country where the oligarchy that runs it, they will kill their own people, you know, their own leadership, people in the news media, people in political figures, mayors and whatnot. If they don't toe the line, they kill them. I mean, this has happened over and over again, you know, especially, you know, I know of several of their news media. One of their negotiators when there was some early on negotiation for peace talks between Russia and Ukraine, they killed him because he wasn't towing the Ukrainian line completely. They've killed several of their own news media people. And, you know, there was the one incident of a mayor who was killed. And they took his body and hung it out in the middle of the street as a warning to others. So you don't cross the line there. And then, of course, you know, for example, the most one of the recent events of, you know, they turn against their own. They shoot their own. It's like the institutional church. They shoot their own. They had a bunch of the Azov battalion in a prison POW camp. I mentioned this. And because they were talking, they shelled the camp, killed like 50 of them, because they don't want them to let people know what the Ukrainian government's like. And the important thing is, it can't be emphasized enough, there's a difference between the Ukrainian government and the Ukrainian people. You have a foul government, absolutely foul government, but the Ukrainian people are not that way. Well, obviously, you know, the leadership are doing foul things, and so that they are Ukrainian. But the thing is, you don't go. You have within Ukraine, I would suggest two groups. You have one who is, I'm Ukrainian and I'm part of the system, and that's what my government tells me, so I fall in line. And then you have the others who are saying, And of course, you know, then of course within Ukraine you have the Russian speaking population. Again, the great example, the thing to think through, what would it be like in the United States if the US government outlawed the Spanish language? They would say you cannot speak Spanish in the United States. What would happen in the US? Do you think there'd be a little tension? That's an understatement. Ukrainian government outlawed Russian. It's not we're trying to promote we should use the Ukrainian language instead of Russian. No, they outlawed it. Can you imagine what it would be like if that was done in the U.S., outlawing Spanish? So, I mean, these are the ways to, I think, to look at it. So, you have people, you know, and I'm, you know, I have made my commitment. There are several places, several stores I do not go to anymore because they impose the mask on their customers. You know, Food City is the biggest example. Dollar General and First Tuesday, two other stores. You know, customers are required. So I'm not a customer, period. Question now comes in. I'm finding a lot of companies, we stand with Ukraine. You do business with us, and some of our profits go to support Ukraine. I'm sorry, you've been fooled. Do I apply the same logic there? That's a concern. Because, again, that makes me look bad. So I will stand on the idea that the mask is the armband of 100 years ago. And those people who are imposing it on me or others, or I'm ridiculous long. One other thing, because I do think I need to, I need to expand on this too. Another line that I think I want to use. Great as Artemis of the Americans. Great as Artemis of the Americans. You know, it's been delayed again. It's actually been delayed for years. But there was supposed to be a launch. What was it? Saturday or whatever. I mean, we were down to like 2 hours from the launch and it was scrubbed. The first launch of the Artemis rocket to go to the moon, literally to go to the moon. You know, it's hardly in the news anymore. You know, back when, you know, because again, I watched the Apollo 11 go to the moon. You know, very much a part of that. Watched it happen. But the attempts now, you know, because it's China has landed a vehicle on the backside of the moon. And both India and Russia are doing similar things. I don't remember the current state. Because, you know, again, and Russia has withdrawn from the International Space Station. You know, because they were basically the sole provider of the transport. So that I think now that is it SpaceX or one of them is starting to do that now, so that they can back out because they have their own. China has their own. They don't need us anymore. So they're backing out, and we don't want to work with them anyway. So I mean they're backing out. But the point of greatest Artemis of the Americans, it's Acts 19. Greatest Artemis of the Ephesians. It's identical, because what happened in Acts 19, the Ephesians were making a whole lot of money on Artemis, their silversmiths and so forth, and making the icons and whatnot, and worshiping their god because it made him a lot of money. Why do, you know, again, NASA is the same way. Makes people a lot of money. So it's delayed several years. A few extra billion dollars, not a problem. Bunch of high-paying jobs. We don't care about the delays. We want the delays because we want the program to run and run and run and run. Because greatest Artemis of the Americans. It's all to do about money. And I think there's two factors here. One is, I remember watching when a year ago or 6 months ago, whatever, when we dropped another vehicle onto Mars. And there was the control room and all the people all excited and having the interviews and whatnot, all wearing masks. So here we have NASA, a scientific community, completely ignoring the science of the mask. Because again, look for science. The idea of trust the science is a marketing line. There's no science to back up the effectiveness of the mask. The masks are harmful. But great is Artemis of the Ephesians. We have to look at the money. Don't question this stuff. Look at the money you're making. You know, and the other one I find fascinating is it's the James Webb telescope that has now started sending pictures back. And people, ooh, oh, whatnot. And it's kind of like, oh, a lot of our theories are going down the tubes. This is happening over and over again because it's the argument between the gravitational model and the electric model of the universe. And it's kind of like, no, we have to stick with the gravitational model. Because if we go to the electric model, the Big Bang disappears. Dark matter disappears. Our budget disappears. Great is Artemis of the Americans. It's all about money. And of course, if the Big Bang disappears, you need another theory. There's one that's pretty popular. It's in Genesis 1. Which is science, as I pointed out. But anyway. I want my kids to think. Long video. I want my kids to be able to think. I've put a whole bunch of stuff out there for you. I want the challenge. Test and see if what I say is true. From the scripture, from the evidence that's out there. When I tell you, the masks are harmful. You know, again, it's the simple test. Use a CO2 sensor. Put a mask on, put a CO2 sensor in the mask. And you'll find your CO2 level goes above what the OSHA calls as harmful. But trust the science, scientists. Trust the authorities. Listen to what the authorities say. And wear the mask, because otherwise it might attack your pride, and you might be the odd man out. You know what it's like to be a person who in the 2 years of, oh, wear a mask, has never worn a mask? I do. But what is it like to be a person who wore a mask and says, I've been fooled. I'm going to take it off. It's like someone who says, I wore the armband, and I'm going to take it off. I'll include the link, because I have a photo of my mom. She was working with a coffee grinder, wooden coffee grinder. It's marvelous. 1904. Yes. Okay. It's 1941, January of 1941. She's there with a wooden coffee grinder because she had some sort of secretarial duties during late 30s or early 40s for the National Socialist German Workers' Party. But this particular picture is fascinating. Obviously, it's black and white, so it doesn't have that stunning aspect to it. But behind her is a picture of a German soldier wearing the armband. You don't see his face. So it's you know, again, this is what I have. But the thing is, this is not just simply a picture of somebody in World War II. This is my mother. The woman who gave me birth. That's her. My mom. She's having a photo taken of her standing in front of a picture of a German soldier wearing the armband. And she ended up marrying an American soldier. Anyway, what does it take to say, no, I'm going to walk away from that? What is it going to take to say, no, I'm going to walk away from the foolishness of the mask? I'm going to walk away from the foolishness, the genocide of the vaccine. It's genocide. You know, I said the purpose of the vaccine, money, power, eugenics. And it is eugenics. But a more fuller word is genocide. Death rate is phenomenal. What does it take to walk away from that? What does it take to walk away from, well, the gravitational model of the universe? I don't know. Because great is Artemis of the Americans. What will my kids do? What would it be like? Can you imagine? What would it be like for Eric Lee, who did the Keeping the Promise video, now calls herself an atheist, to rationally engage somebody, including maybe her dad, and say, okay, I went astray. I was wrong. Christ is who he claims to be. And I'll repent. What would it be like for Jack to say, no, when my dad says he's hoping for 1 Corinthians 6:11, such were some of you for me, what would it be like if that happens to my Jack? It'd be hard for both of them. What would it be like for my Julia? I don't know what's happened with her. What is it going to be like for her to hold firm to Christ in the difficulty she's going through? Why on earth would George, Susanna, Glory Jane, Walter, and Zadok look at what they see in front of them and say, oh, my Christian family, it's bogus. Why shouldn't they follow Eric Lee's path or Jack's path? And perhaps Tears' path. Why shouldn't they? Because what they're seeing is fraud. Trust the science, Tiss. Trust the pastor who will not take up the request for reconciliation and obedience to Christ. What will it be like for my kids? Boy, I got really short again today. I'm not giving up. And there's one more person. What would it be like for a woman who said, yes, I commit my life, for better, for worse, for richer and poorer, till death do me part, which again, Book of Common Prayer, not Scripture, but it's a promise. What would it be like for her to say, okay, I'm going to keep that promise? What would it be like to her to say, you know, Again, Romans 7, very clear. Yeah, she's my wife. 1 Corinthians 7:11, she's commanded to reconcile. What would it be like for her to say, yes, in obedience to Christ, I'll pursue that? How hard would that be? For any of these people, you know, same thing true with Jim Cross. With Jim Cross, what would it be like for him to reconcile with me? Chris Bitterman, Render Keynes, what would it be like for any of these people? You need an ally in doing that. And I've stated before, and I stand in it, you have an ally with me. You've acted as my enemy. The Lord says, love your enemies. And I'm going to act in love, in the hope. Again, the Galatians 2, 2 Peter 3 model. I'm calling you out as being disobedient to Christ, hoping that one day, at least with somebody, we'll look at each other and call each other our beloved brother, as Peter did to Paul, after Paul called out Peter rather publicly. That is my hope, unwaveringly, with Jim Cross, Render Keynes, Chris Bitterman, institutional church leadership, extended family, my own kids, and beyond question, my wife. I'm sorry, I got really long. I'm not giving up. Dorothy Chin, my lady, I am your husband. I'm the one that loves you, and I want you back.